What's the first thing that you do, my friend, when you find yourself in a dilemma? Or when you're confused and you don't know which way to go? Or when you're in a desperate hurry and you need a parking place? What do you do? How do you live? How do you handle the decisions of life? How do you know whether you're to say yes or whether you're to say no, whether you're to spend this or whether you're not to spend this? Well, beloved, this is what life in the Spirit is all about, and this is what we're going to talk about today on Precepts for Life. Spirit. I'm so glad that you've joined the program. I'm so glad that you've made it a priority. And maybe you say, but I didn't join it and I haven't made it a priority. I just stopped. There was something that I wanted to see or something that I wanted to hear, or you had my curiosity up, or I was on this Christian station and on this Christian station, I just wanted to find out what people were saying. I'm so glad. However you stopped, however you're here, I'm so glad. Because you know what? God wants to speak to you. He wants you and I to know how to live day by day, moment by moment, decision by decision, conflict by conflict. He wants you and I to live as more than a conqueror through Him who loved us. He wants us to be an overcomer, not to be overcome by our situation or by our circumstances, but to be able to overcome them. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. It's believing that Jesus is the Christ, and believing that Jesus is the Christ and receiving Jesus. When we do, we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, to indwell us. And if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. But once the Spirit comes in, it's not just that he's going to sit there. It's not just that he's going to occupy space. It's not just that he's going to help you pray. He's going to help you in every situation of life. If you will make a choice, and that choice is to walk by the Spirit. In other words, to let the Spirit govern you in every aspect of your life. And that's what Christianity is all about. That's what happens when man who has sinned, who is without life, who is dead in his trespasses and sins, receives the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in him, and then man knows how to walk. Walk under the control of the Spirit. And when you do, you will know it because these qualities will be present in your life. Look at it. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5 where we left off. And you say, hey, I'm one of those new ones. I don't know where you left off. Well, I want you to go to our website. It's preceptsforlife.com. Precepts, P-R-E-C-E-P-T-S, for life. And it's all one word, .com, and then you can find out how to get this whole series and understand life in the Spirit from the Word of God. Galatians chapter 5, he's contrasted the deeds of the flesh now with the fruit of the Spirit. And when he's talking about fruit, he's talking about what the Spirit produces. You know a tree by its fruit. You may be walking along and you may see blossoms, but you don't understand those blossoms because several kinds of fruit trees have all white blossoms or something. But the minute the fruit comes there, you know whether it's a pear tree, you know whether it's a peach tree, you know whether it's an apple tree, you know the tree by its fruit. And so he's saying here that you're going to know that the Holy Spirit is there, that you're walking by the Spirit, that you're being led by the Spirit, because you will have a ninefold evidence of the Spirit. Watch what he says, and watch very carefully. This is observing the text and seeing who and what and when and where and why and how. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. You're saying, but it's multiple fruit. It should be a plural verb. It should be the fruits of the Spirit are. No, what he's saying is that every time the Spirit is being manifested. Every time you're walking by the Spirit, nine things will be true. Nine things will be evident. You will know that you're walking by the Spirit because you will have love. You will have joy. You say, I got cancer. I can't have joy. Even in cancer, there is a joy, not in the cancer, but in a joy that you know, first of all, that God wounds and God heals, God kills and God makes alive. You know that you cannot die until God is ready. You know that if you have the Spirit of God in you, then when you are absent from the body, you are present with the Lord. That the Spirit is the guarantee of heaven for you and the guarantee that someday this body that's falling apart and cancerous and broken and hurting will become a brand new body that will never be able to be corrupted again, because corruptibility will put on incorruptibility. So there's that joy underneath, that joy because the Spirit is reminding you of these things. So it's love and it's joy, and there's peace. There is a peace. There is a calm underneath. I remember a missionary called Miss Bertha, and I remember when she was overseas and the Japanese came in, and I mean, it was war and they were shooting, and all of a sudden fear came up into her heart and she started to be afraid, and she thought, I am not going to be afraid. That's not from God. It is peace. And she said, I just ripped that fear out of there. And I said, I will walk by the Spirit. It is love. It is joy. It is peace. And I appropriated that peace. She walked by the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness. Kindness. There's a kindness that comes out towards other people. Haven't you ever had someone say to you, you are so kind. You are so kind. That means, hey, it's the Spirit. It's not the flesh, because the flesh isn't kind. Oh, sometimes the flesh can clean up its act, but it's just not natural for the flesh to be kind. So it's love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, and it is goodness. There's a goodness about a person who was walking by the Spirit. And not only is there goodness, but there is faithfulness. You're going to be faithful. Faithful to what you say. Faithful to God in all that you do. Faithful in the way that you behave. Faithful to the people that you're supposed to be faithful to. Because that's what the Spirit produces. And not only that, but there's going to be a gentleness. A gentleness. A caring. A softness about you. If you hear people that are constantly really mean and really hard. Now, I come across strong. People enjoy hearing my testimony because I come across strong, but I never come across mean. I never come across mean. Now, God has worked it so that I walk more and more in the Spirit. But there is that gentleness, and also there is that self-control. So that means you've been able to say no. That means you've been able to not take it and not do it and not say it and not react, because there's self-control. Now, this is the fruit of the Spirit. And he goes on to say this. Now, those who belong to Christ, he's given you the deeds of the flesh. He's given you the fruit of the Spirit. And he says, now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And it's able to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And it is just said, death to the flesh. No, I am not going to walk that way. I don't have to walk that way. That's the way I walked before, but not anymore. The old man, the old cave, the old you is dead. And you keep that dead body in the coffin. And if it starts to raise up out of the coffin, this woman used to say, when she started to get upset with the children, get the nails, I'm coming out of the coffin. And the kids knew, hey, we have really pushed mother to the limits. That old mother is coming back to us. Get the nails. She knew that the old man, that the flesh, and it's different, that the old man and the flesh need to be crucified. Keep him in the coffin. Put him to death. All right. So he goes on to say this, if we live by the Spirit, in other words, you were saved. The way that you passed from death, the way that you passed from death to life was because you got the Spirit of God. All right. Now you live by the Spirit. Now walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Let the Spirit control you. And then he says, let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. That's not the lifestyle of life in the Spirit. Now, let's go back to the book of Acts and let's see how life in the Spirit was played out. Because I want you to see that the Spirit of God is there to lead you. The Spirit of God is there to guide you whenever you are in a difficult situation. So constantly, you are to be in communication with the Spirit. The Spirit's inside of you, okay? And you should be listening to the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit is directing you so you know what to do. So anytime you find yourself in a difficult situation, what do? Who do you talk to first? I'm constantly going around the house and saying, God, I don't know where my keys are. You know where they are. Please show me where my keys are. I get to a parking spot or I have to park the car and I'm in a hurry and I'm praying, Lord, I need a parking place. Just please put me in a parking place. Please open one up for me or just show me where to park. I'm constantly talking to God. That is life in the Spirit. It's realizing that it's not by your might and it's not by your power, but it's by your Spirit. God, I'm talking to this person. Lord, they have just found out that their cancer is back, that it's on the adrenal glands. What do I say? I remember talking to Patsy Ramsey. And Patsy Ramsey is the one who's child, little John Benet, was killed and murdered. And Patsy and John were accused, first of all, of the murder. First they accused John, and then they realized John didn't do it. Then they accused Patsy, and neither one of them did it. And evidence has been found of a foreign DNA on the body of little John Benet, and they're in pursuit of that. But those people lost everything because people believed a lie, because they just listened to this inept police department who tried to handle the case themselves and just immediately assumed that it was one of the parents that did it. Well, on top of that, Patsy had cancer, and now the cancer has come back, and now it's on the adrenal glands. And I called her the other day. I was with a friend of mine, and we were writing this 40-minute study on the business of ethics. And my friend, I said, I want to talk to Patsy. I haven't talked to her. And she just picked up the phone and called her. The timing was absolutely perfect. I'll tell you about it right after this announcement.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
This year, I'm going to start a Bible study at my church.
This is the year I'm going to study the whole Bible in a year.
I'm going to make my will.
This is the year I reach my community.
This is the year that I'm going to teach new believers how to study the Bible for themselves.
This is the year I do my first precept study.
This is the year I'm going to teach my grandkids to study the Bible.
Precept Ministries is excited about 2017. And we want to help you make this your best year ever. Whether it's getting into Bible study for yourself, helping make an impact on your family and friends, or reaching out and helping others become established in God's Word, we want to help you. Visit precept.org/2017 to get started.
Glad you're back. Let's go back to Patsy. When my friend Suzanne got her on the phone, she says, Kay wants to talk to you. And I picked up the phone and I started talking to Patsy, and I knew that she had been crying. And I said, is it hard? And she says, it's very hard right now. She said, John's up in Michigan, and he's going to run for office up there, and I'm down here, and it's Easter, and it's just hard. She says, it's just hard. And I said, I know it is. I know. It must be so hard. And I said, you know, all you've been through, you think, Lord, how much more are you going to put me through? Because she's been through all this chemotherapy. We stopped. We prayed. 2 days later, or the next day, excuse me, I get a phone call from her. Well, she tells me then, she said, you know, God just had you call me. God just had you call me, being led by the Spirit. I'm sure that you've experienced it. Somebody will say, why did you call me? I didn't know I was going to see you. I've had people say to me when I'm speaking at a conference, I prayed, I mean, a conference with thousands there, and they said, I prayed that God would let me run into you. We've run into each other in the restroom. We've run in each other to the hall, and I said, God has answered. This is life in the Spirit. It's being led by the Spirit so that you walk by the Spirit. And this was what was happening with the early church. And I want you to go to Acts for just a minute. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And it says this, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they begin to do? It says, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. In other words, here they are, and they're praying, and God fills them with the Spirit, and they go out, and they speak the word with boldness. And it says, and the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property with them. And with great power, the apostles were giving witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and abundant grace was upon them all. When you walk in the Spirit, there is God's abundant grace. Romans 5 says, having been justified, now we stand in the grace of God. What is the grace of God? It's everything that Jesus Christ is, everything that He has made available to you so that it's there for you to use. Well, life in the Spirit is you walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and appropriating the wisdom that the Spirit gives you, the mind of Christ, the leadership, the fullness, the power of the Holy Spirit. And as you do that, here is all this grace, and you're appropriating it. You know, this is a book that has absolutely blessed me. I'm not impressed with the cover of the book, and I met Stanley Tam and his wonderful, precious wife, and I thought, you guys are absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. This precious little couple, Stan and Juanita, and I listened to their story, and I thought, I have got to have that book. Well, it was hard for me, because I try to read just a chapter a night, but it was hard for me to put it down. because you want to look at life in the Spirit. This is a book of the practical ways of God working in an individual's life. After Stan came to know the Lord, God, he got this business, and it was a silver refining business where you take old photographs, and when they do the chemicals, silver comes off of them. So he got this business where he would have like a magnet, so to speak, that would pull that silver together, and then he could go and he could sell that silver. Well, he lived from hand to mouth and until God did something, and I'll tell you about that later. But he lived from hand to mouth, and he was going around trying to collect these silver things, and a lot of people didn't even bother with it. They thought it was stupid. But finally, he got enough that it was $80 worth of silver that he had collected. And he had enough money to drive to this town. He lived in Lima, Ohio, but he had enough money to drive to this town, but he didn't have enough money to drive back. And he didn't have enough money for food. But he knew that when he got there, he would get $80, because every time he walked in, they'd cut him a check, and he'd go cash the check at the bank, and then he'd have his money. So he drives, and he's singing, and he's praising the Lord. He's walking. He's filled with the Spirit, singing and making melody in his heart to the Lord in everything, giving thanks. He gets there, he turns in the silver, and he says, I need my check. And she said, I'm going to have to send it to you, Mr. Tam. I am so sorry. He says, you can't send it to me. I've got to have it now. She says, well, I can't give it to you now because only the boss can sign the checks, and he's not here, and you'll just have to wait. He won't be home for several more days, and as soon as he gets home, Mr. Tam, we will send you the check. He says, but you don't understand. I don't have any money. She says, Mr. Tam, I am sorry. I cannot sign the check. He said he walked out and he thought, God, what am I going to do? As he was listening to all this, by the way, he had gone to the window. As she was telling him all this, he stuck his hand in his pocket. He pulled out the money he had. He had 13 cents. Now, you got to remember, this is a long time ago when a nickel would buy a hamburger. All right. So he had 13 cents. And he thought, God, what am I going to do? He said, I was so hungry that I went over and I bought a hamburger for a nickel. That left me 8 cents. So he said, I went to the gas station because, he said, I just bowed my head and I said, God, what do I do? What do I do? I don't know what to do. Now, this is what life in the Spirit is all about. It's what do I do, God? And God says, hey, I'll let you know what to do. Commit your way unto the Lord, trust in Him, and He will bring it to pass. It is that simple. So if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, who upbraids not. Let him ask in faith, not doubting, not wavering, because he that doubts is like a wave of the sea tossed to and fro. And that kind of man is a double-minded man, and it does not please God. So he said, okay, God, what do I do? And God spoke to his heart, not audibly. He just said, go home. And he said, God, this is all I have, is this gas in the tank, and it is not going to take me all the way home, and all I have is 8 cents. And God said, go home. So he goes to the gas station. He says, can you give me 8 cents worth of gas? Now, today it wouldn't have put a drop in there, but it was 8 cents worth of gas. He put it in. The guy says, you're not going to go very far on that. And he said, I know. And he gets in the car, and he starts driving. And as he gets on this country road, he sees a man ahead in his headlights, and the man is hitchhiking. His father has taught him, you never pick up hitchhikers. But he said, I just felt like I was to stop and pick the man up. He said, I rolled down the window, no automatic windows, and said, where are you going? And the man said, you know, I've been to Chicago, and it's so expensive that to save money, I hitchhiked all the way up, and now I've been standing here for hours, and nobody stopped to pick me up until you did. He said, I'm going to Marion, Ohio. And he said, okay. He said, but I don't have, there's a problem. And the man says, well, what's the problem? I want you to take me. And he said, well, you see, I don't have enough gas in my tank to get us there. And I don't have any money. And he said, listen, he says, I'm not a poor man. He said, I was just saving money. He says, drive to the closest gas station and I'll fill your tank. Now, this is what Stan said that he learned. He says, that night, God taught me the greatest lesson of spiritual success I have ever been taught. He had his hitchhiker down along my pathway to meet all my needs if I would do one thing, the most important thing, if I would step out in faith and trust God every time that he spoke to my heart. What is life in the Spirit all about, beloved? It is Christ in you by the power of the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you until you see him face to face. You are not without a comforter. You are not without a helper. You are not without a teacher. You are not left impotent and powerless. You are not left in a maze to try and find your own way. It is life by the Spirit, beloved. And that's what God wants you to have. And that's the way that he wants you to live. So how do you do that? Well, I would suggest that you get Stanley Tam's Incredible Adventures with God, and you'll see the story of how an ordinary man lived an extraordinary life and how he did it with a wife that also trusted God. But may I just make this suggestion? And that is that you go to God every day before you ever get out of bed and you say, God, you're my Father, and I thank you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I thank you that Jesus Christ is at your right hand and that he is praying for me today, that he is interceding for me. And Father, today, all I want to do is to do what Paul said, and that is to please you, whether in my body or in heaven. I just have one ambition, and that's to please you. And I know that I can only please you by walking in your Spirit. And so I'm asking you now to fill me with your Spirit. Your Spirit's inside of me, but I want to be filled to overflowing. And I want him to direct my steps. I want him to teach me. I want him to lead me. I want him to govern me. I want his fruit to be all over the place. I want to experience that love and that joy and that peace and that goodness and that faithfulness and that kindness and that gentleness and that self-control. I want to be everything you want me to be. You have me, lock, stock, and barrel. Now fill every fiber of my being with your Spirit. And beloved, when you do that, you will sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. And it will not be you. It will be you living in relationships with others the way God wants, and especially with God.
Thank you for watching today. For books or Bible study materials discussed on this program, visit our website at preceptsforlife.com. For more information about Precept Ministries International, log on to our website, preceptsforlife.com, or call us today at 1-800-763-1990.